I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, please. Acts chapter 16. Paul is in the midst of his missionary journeys. And we read in Acts chapter 16 in verse 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." That was Timothy, was well reported of. Verse 3, "Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." Now, I read that for you today because there is highlighted in here a woman. And we're going to look at this woman today and look at her example and really what God has done in her life. We're going to look at her faith. You see here that this certain woman was the mother of Timothy. She was a Jew. But there's two words here in this verse 1 that we need to grab a hold of, which was a Jewess and believed. And believed. You know, as we think and talk about mothers and women that have had influence in our lives, or you ladies today, what kind of influence, what kind of mark does God want you to make upon this world? I believe the most profound thing, the most profound mark that you can leave is your faith. And as you see here in this passage, the grace of God came into this family, and the mother and grandmother came to faith in Christ, and this mother believed. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we see some more remarks concerning this mother. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is writing what we believe is probably his final letter. He's writing it to Timothy, this very man that he met back, we saw back in Acts chapter 16. And he's writing to him, seeking to encourage this younger man in the faith and in the ministry of leading churches. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, in verse 3, we read, "I thank God, whom I served for my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the sincere, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." There's a theme of remembrance here in this first chapter of Timothy, 2 Timothy, and we see Paul bringing that out here. But one thing that he calls to remembrance as he is thinking and considering Timothy is he is remembering the faith of his mother. He gives this description to it. It was unfeigned. It was genuine. It was not something that was just an appearance or a disguise. It wasn't a robe that she put on just for gathering together with church people. It was true of her all the way through. She was the real deal. And Paul saw this, and this faith had an impact on Timothy. And Paul recognized that. Paul saw that at work in this man. He didn't have to draw attention to this. I mean, again, I believe every word in the Word of God is inspired and it's there for a purpose and reason. So why in the world here is Paul bringing in to the context Timothy's mother? I believe partly it is to draw attention to the importance of true and sincere faith. You know, we can walk around and we can say we are people of faith. I mean, a lot of people do that, don't they? A lot of people say they are people of faith. They believe in something or someone, or they follow some certain standards or book or religion. They say they are people of faith. One thing we understand as we read the Word of God is that a faith in Jesus Christ stands head and shoulders above all others because it is effective, eternally effective, in the hearts and minds of people. Eunice is her name. Her faith was established. She believed, and her faith was invested, and she taught it to her son. Her son caught it. She lived it, she invested it, and her son saw it, and he also embraced it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 continues this account for us in helping us understand even better from Timothy's perspective about his relationship with his mother. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, we see, "But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them." Notice here that Timothy has learned both from the content that he was taught, but also from the teacher who taught him. Now, you might say that's confusing or that's a circular reasoning, but no, listen. Anybody can say and teach certain things, but if their life is not backing up what they're teaching, then the students invariably will not follow suit, will not learn, will not fully embrace what is taught because, hey, it's just words. It's not reality. It doesn't have meaning in life. We see here that Eunice, her faith was invested in Timothy to the point that she delivered content to him. But the way she did it and the life that she lived in that context concreted these lessons in his heart. I know it's Mother's Day, and I know that we're talking about a mother here. But don't miss this, that this lesson goes to us all, doesn't it? That our faith be genuine. That our faith be established. And, you know, I don't want to overlook the fact that there may be some here today that when we talk about faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have any. Well, that's where this journey of Christianity starts. You being here today and hearing the music and being around people that love God and hearing the preaching of the Word of God, let me just clue you in a little bit. God's trying to get your attention and He's speaking to your heart even now. His truth. He's seeking to draw you unto Himself. But you know, our faith needs to be invested. Not only in content, but in the way we live. Continuing in 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice verse 15, "And that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures." Now that's key because this speaks of the relationship with his mother. Not necessarily with Paul, with his mother, Eunice. "That from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures." The Scriptures are providing the content. The Scriptures provide the most effective foundation for teaching. "That from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As we think about a genuine faith, it being established, it being invested, and you may ask, well, how do I invest it? What am I to invest in the lives of my children? Listen, Scripture provides the best, it's the most effective foundation for any teaching that goes on in your home. Really, for all of life. You know, our world, our nation specifically, has rejected the Bible in its educational system. And we have seen the tragic results of that, haven't we? We as Christians should stand apart. We as Christians should have the Scriptures as the foundation of our teaching. Even if your children, even if you went to a public school, you as parents still should bear influence upon your children with the Scriptures as often as possible, viewing through the Word of God, that lens, through those lenses, what they are being taught. The Scripture is the most effective foundation for that. Why? It's wise. Notice in verse 15, it makes you wise unto salvation. It's wise specifically because it points you to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Isn't that where we desire our children to be? Isn't that where you long to be? Wise? And the Scriptures have that unique ability of taking people who invest their time in it and learn it, have that unique ability of pointing them to Jesus. And so you as a parent, you as a mother, as you are investing in your children's lives, the Scriptures, use them, and they will be a most effective tool to pointing your children and the people that you love and the people that you influence towards Jesus. It's wise. It's God's Word. Why use the Scriptures in investing and educating our children? Because it's God's Word. It makes that claim, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Now, anything that comes from God, we should treat as very valuable, shouldn't we? We should be able to trust it, right? Yes? Yes, we should. It's trustworthy. It's of God. It's God's Word. Why else? It's because it's profitable. It's beneficial. You know, it's sad when we hear people say that belief in God or obeying God's Word is burdensome. It's like, you know, you've heard people describe it, I don't need any more laws to follow. I want to be free from that. You know, that's certainly a perspective some may have of the Scriptures. But you know what? We as parents go a long way in helping develop within our children a right perspective of the Word of God by our attitude, by the way we treat the Word of God in our lives and in our home, by the way we respect it, by the value we place upon it and viewing it as profitable. It's beneficial for my life. Let me ask you a question, Mother. How will your children know that you think the Word of God is beneficial for your life? Oh, well, you could tell them. You could tell them. You could sit them down at the kitchen table and say, listen, children, I believe the Word of God is really beneficial for my life. Well, that's one way you could do it, but I want to just tell you something that's not going to go real deep. They might hear that, but will soon forget that. What do you need to do? You need to model that. Does your life model that God's Word is valuable and profitable and beneficial for life? Do you model that? Do you have an appetite and a hunger for it that when the children wake up, they see mom sitting up in bed with her Bible open? I can remember that growing up as a child. My mother, growing up, I would wake up, and inevitably she would be up, and she'd be sitting up in her bed, the light would be on next to her bed, and she would have her Bible open. She never sat down with me and told me that, you know, the Bible is beneficial and profitable. She lived it before me. I saw that in her life. Are you showing that? In the Word of God, the Scriptures are sanctifying. Look in the 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, the Word of God has a way of changing us and building into us character. Jesus, when he was praying before his disciples in John chapter 17, he prayed something that many times we overlook, but I think it's very important. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And he's, of course, this is Jesus speaking to his Father. The Scriptures are sanctifying. They have a way of taking at us, molding and shaping and changing us and making us more into the image of Jesus Christ, which really does set us apart. Her faith is genuine. Paul remembered it that way. Paul speaks of it in that way. And we can understand the basis of her faith was the Scriptures. Well, her faith appears how? How does a woman of faith, how does she appear? How should she appear? This might be a very obvious question. And seeking to be practical here today, let's go to Titus chapter 2. And in Titus chapter 2, we have a passage that instructs the older women to be teaching the younger women. Now, we often will look at that passage and we will exhort the older women, yes, you need to be teaching the younger. And absolutely, that is part of that. But you know what I want to focus on today is what is being taught. The older women are expected to have what kind of character, and they are given a curriculum to teach. And this curriculum that they are to teach is a great blueprint for you women in life. Your faith, may it appear as holiness. Look at Titus chapter 2, picking up in verse 3, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What might faith appear like in a woman's life? Well, we understand here, we see the importance of holiness. The aged women were to be people of holiness. Holiness, again, is linked to that word sanctifying. They were to be people that were set apart. They would be people of upstanding character. They were to be people of gentle and truthful words, not false accusers. That literally would mean speaking of slanderers. Women that were using their tongue to tear down other people. No. A woman of genuine faith is holy and has gentle and truthful words. She is not controlled by wine. She has a self-control with that. And she is a woman of good teachings. In other words, as she teaches, as her mouth opens, good things come out. Well, how do you know what good things are? It goes back to the Scriptures. The Scriptures, may they be the foundation of your teaching. How do you know what is good? Does it match what the Scriptures teach? She is a woman that loves her husband. And she is a woman that loves her children. These were things that were to be taught to the younger women by the older women. Love your husbands. They were to teach them how to do that. You know, this speaks of more than just words. More than just saying, I love you. You know, these women were not going around teaching the younger women how to say those words. That's not what it was about. It was about how to live a life that demonstrated love. A kind of love that was based upon, hey, you guys are in a relationship, a oneness here in marriage. And so therefore, that should look like this. And of course, Paul gives us that picture in Ephesians chapter 5. Love as Christ loved the church. And we also see this going together with loving your children. How do you do that? And there's a lot of things. You could spend a whole session on those varying things. But what does a lady with genuine faith, what does she look like? She's holy. She's gentle and truthful in her words. She's not controlled with wine. Good teachings come out of her mouth. She loves her own husband. She loves her own children. She is sensible in her character. This goes back also to being self-controlled. She's pure. She is a woman of purity and cleanliness, clean. Not just physically, but her life demonstrates that. She is a faithful keeper at home. She demonstrates a care for the home. It is a priority in her life. She is full of goodness. And she is submissive to her own husband. What does genuine faith look like in a woman? These are just a sampling of some of the things that the Scripture teaches in this regard, specifically for women. Specifically for women. And notice what caps all of this off, and that we would be remiss if we avoided the end of chapter 5, or end of verse 5. All of this needs to be taught, needs to be evident in the life of women. Why? That the Word of God be not blasphemed. All this so that God's Word be not spoken of in evil terms. The reputation of God is at stake here. What a way to look at life, isn't it? To realize that your Christian life and your Christian walk speaks of God. And the way you live bears upon the reputation of God. Because, hey, you're wearing the t-shirt that says, I'm a Christian. You're proclaiming that. I hope you are. I hope people realize that. You know what? I hope people can see that in my life. And can see that and hear that in your life. Because your life, my life, mothers, your life speaks of God and His reputation. And your children, they need to know God. They need to understand God. And they're going to learn a lot of it from you. Titus here speaks and gives us that strong exhortation. Oh, may your faith be genuine. And your genuine faith, the Scriptures tells us what that looks like. But as we talk about faith, It is faith that leaves a lasting legacy. You see, Paul remembered Eunice's faith. He remembered it. Very likely she might not have been alive at that time when he wrote 2 Timothy. But you know what he remembered about Timothy's mother? It was her genuine faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. This is a great place to go when you talk about faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1 and 2. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by what? Faith, the elders obtained a good report. Don't overlook that. It is by faith that the elders, these people that are referred to in this passage, these people that have gone on before us, they obtained a good report by faith. They are remembered for their faith. And listen, mothers, women, fathers, men, children, may we be remembered for our faith. You know what? Ultimately, that's what lasts. By faith, those who have gone on before have obtained a good report. Looking at verses 11 and 12, we see Sarah, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, and because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. By faith we see Sarah trust God and his promises. How is Sarah remembered? How? Because she trusted God and his promise. You know, so often, as I think of Sarah, I'm pretty hard on her. And I think about the time she left. God said, you're going to have a child. And what did she do? She was in the other side of the tent laughing. Remember that? And I think, whenever I think of Sarah, that mars my conception of her, my understanding of her, because I think about that. But you know, how does the New Testament remember her? She was a woman of faith. Woman of faith. She's put forth in 1 Peter as an example to wives. What an example to me. You know what? Even people of faith fail sometimes. But what does God remember? Their faithfulness. I trust that's an encouragement to you, because all of us fail, don't we? But get back up. Get back up. Be faithful. Looking at verse 23, we see Jochebed. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Jochebed here, Moses' mother, we see her trust in God and God's care rather than fear, fearing the Pharaoh's command. How is Jochebed remembered? Not for the skill in crafting a little basket. No. She's remembered for her faith in trusting God over the fear of what the Pharaoh might do. Down a little bit further, in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab. Interesting, she is still called a harlot here. She is called a harlot, perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Why is she still called a harlot? Well, that was who she was, but this passage gives the incredible contrast, doesn't it? Oh, she was a harlot, but you know what? Even this harlot believed God, and God remembered her faith. What happened? Are all those people in Jericho remembered? No. They're gone. The walls fell down and they were destroyed. But Rahab, her faith is remembered. And it fascinates me that she's a part of the line of Jesus. Why, God? Why would you do that? Because he's such a merciful and gracious God. It's beautiful. Beautiful. And then we go to verse 35, where we see women receive their dead raised to life again. I was reminded of in the days of Elisha and Elijah and the different women that they ministered to and their children they raised up. God raised them up. These are honored women of faith. But let's see how this chapter concludes and goes into chapter 12. Look at verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, notice it's through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, listen, people, they are looking on. These faithful men and women are looking on, watching us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How can we do that? Well, you're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Is your faith visible? A lot of things will be said about you mothers today, but I believe God's Word is asking this question. Can others see you trusting in God? How will your life be remembered? Many strive to make themselves beautiful, but that will fade. Many seek to make themselves strong and healthy, but inevitably we all become weak. Many seek to develop great skills, but someday, we're all feeble. You see, in and of ourselves, in the flesh, we are limited and constrained by sin in this cursed world. We are controlled by the physical, and we cannot get out beyond that. We are in this constant decline. But dear ones, mothers, all of us here today, you live a life of faith. You focus on a genuine, true faith established in Jesus Christ and invested in the lives of people around you, and you will grow. And the impact will be felt for generation upon generation. So flee the fading. Embrace true faith. A life lived by faith in the Son of God is a life that will have lasting effects for generations to come. It wasn't too long ago that I stood beside the bed of my grandmother. She was feeble. Her body had shriveled up. She was beginning to roll into that fetal position. As I think back, I remember some of my first thoughts and remembrances of my grandmother. As a strong woman, as a woman of great skills, great cooking, beautiful curly hair, she walked around in pink curlers. But I got to tell you something, that didn't matter in those last days. Because all those things were faded and gone. But I tell you, she left a legacy in my life and the life of my family of outstanding faith. She was a woman we knew was praying. She taught children. She taught other women. She invested her life for God. And I saw that as a grandson. I saw it. And this day, when I think of my grandmother, the first thing that comes to mind is not the great pizza she made. No. It's the fact that I knew she was praying for me. She trusted God. In her later years, her faith was her health was ailing, and she was physically wrought by Parkinson's disease. But yet she smiled. She was joyous. She was trusting God. You know, some of you are encouraging me that way. Some of you are bearing through great challenges and burdens, and I see your smiles, and what a great encouragement that is to me. You know what? We're going to remember those things. You seek to be a man, a woman, a mother, child of faith, because that's going to leave a mark. God, we're praying today that we be people of faith. Lord, faith is something that we sometimes have a hard time describing and holding on to. But God, so often we can put names to it. We can say, hey, that was a woman of faith. That was a man of faith. And God, I pray that you would honor the efforts of your people here today to seek to invest their lives using the scriptures in the lives of many people.